This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد. Respected brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. I welcome all of you once again to my daily discourse on the topic family and social conflicts, causes and solutions. Family conflicts, family problems, family frictions, shiqaq in Arabic, causes, the asbab and their solutions, the remedies, the alajat, asbab al-shiqaqi wa alajatuha. Those of you who've been following this program for the past couple of days, you may recall that I discussed briefly in the past 2 days the importance of maintaining family ties, the importance of maintaining kinship, the importance of being courteous and cordial towards other people, and the detestability and the sinfulness of breaking ties with your fellow Muslims, and specifically your relatives and your family members. We talked about this issue, I mean, as an introduction, I discussed this topic and the importance of it in great depth and detail over the past couple of days in light of many verses of the Quran and many hadiths of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We mentioned the verse of the Quran, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ, and the many hadiths of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah's book Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and some other hadiths from elsewhere, from Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim and elsewhere, regarding the importance of maintaining family ties and not being involved in argumentation, friction, disputes, quarrels, and avoiding them. And then I talked about, especially in the month of Ramadan, that's when we need to start, literally, we need to start in the month of Ramadan, and without a doubt avoid friction and argumentation and disputes in the month of Ramadan. I talked about the hadith which says, which is recorded by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Al-Mu'minu Ma'alafatun, that a believer is a place and abode of love. I talked about living with love and peace and harmony with others. So this was all discussed in quite a bit of detail in the past couple of days. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, that I want to move on to causes and solutions. Practical solutions, because as I said, many Muslims today, unfortunately, many Muslim families, unfortunately, find themselves in a lot of bother. They find themselves in a lot of problems. Family conflicts are prevalent all over the Muslim communities and all over the different Muslim lands in different places. And as I said, I would not be exaggerating if I was to say that there's total chaos and anarchy in terms of family relationships. We find, I mean, I myself experience a lot of people generally on a regular basis contacting me and asking me for advice, and I'm sure many other imams of many of the other masajid and mosques and many ulama and the many shuyukh and the many great learned and influential and wise people of the community Likewise, they are contacted by people on a regular basis complaining about problems within the family. And unfortunately, we find ourselves in a situation, in a time where the family is greatly endangered. It is in danger of collapsing because we have too many conflicts, too many problems. So this is the reason why I chose this topic. What are the causes? We are moving on to, inshallah, now the causes, the asbab. In Arabic we say asbab, the plural of sabab. Asbab al-shiqaq, the causes of friction, causes of disunity in the family. And as I said, not limited to the family, but generally within the Muslims as well, in our Muslim societies, within Muslims, not just families, but families and relatives, and generally within the Muslims, we find a lot of argumentation, disunity, and we find a lot of quarrels and disputes and friction and problems. But specifically, family, within the family. So as I said, I want to tackle this from a general perspective as well, and specifically concentrate more on the family. What are the asbab? What are the causes? What are the main reasons? What are the root causes? One by one we're going to look at them. And I'm not going to mention the list. Because if I tell you the list, I don't know the list, the causes myself right now. I'm actually, as we go on inshallah in this blessed month of Ramadan, more and more things will come into my mind and I will end up with a list. I don't know myself. At the moment I have 5-6 things in mind. Maybe I may end up mentioning 10 causes. Each cause, each reason, that this is a particular major reason that causes people to fight, specifically within the family. And these are the solutions, because we need practical measures, practical steps, solutions, so that inshallah we have a peaceful, cordial, harmonious family atmosphere, and we live with peace and love and harmony with one another, inshallah ta'ala. That is the hope, and that is the intention, and that is the desire, mine and inshallah yours as well. So what are those causes? We're going to talk about the first cause today. Before I do go on to mention the first cause, root reason, what I will say right now, that one of the causes is definitely not, I'll tell you what is not going to be a major cause and reason for family disputes. I have a lot of causes and a lot of reasons, but one thing without doubt is not part of my list is, you know what? Black magic. Black magic. According to some people, black magic is the root cause for every problem. Unfortunately, seriously, it's in our societies. I just want to talk just briefly a few minutes on this. I am not disregarding and denying that black magic exists. I'm not denying that for one moment. It's in the Quran. How can you deny it? Black magic exists. Sihr in Arabic, and in the Urdu language and in the Asian community, they like to use the term jadu. Sihr in Arabic, Allah talks about sihr. ببابل هاروت وماروت وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقول إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر. So I'm not denying it. It does exist, but it does not exist to the point that we think it exists. And I am honestly appalled by the fact that we, as especially the Asian Muslim community, every problem, it's black magic. Your daughter doesn't want to marry someone, someone's done something on her. Your son is gone off track, someone's done something on her. No, nobody's done anything on her. You yourself have done something on her, on him, because you did not bring him up properly Islamically. Islamic tarbiyah was not done. Nobody's done nothing on him. If your son is in drug abuse, somebody's done something. It's easy way to come out of it. It's an easy way to lay... You see, the easiest thing for a human being to do is lay blame on other people rather than your own self. That's how humans work. I myself, I like to point fingers at other people, point the fingers of blame at others, but forget my own self. It's an easy way out. It's an easy solution. Right? And this is the reason why many of us, any problem, husband, wife not getting on, marital problems, there could be 101 million reasons why there are marital problems, except black magic. But we don't even think of them straight away. Someone's done something, someone's sitting in some part of some world, right? Sitting there ready, you know, spending 24 hours doing black magic on you. They have nothing else to do in life just to, you know, just do black magic on you because you're so important, right? I'm not saying, as I said, I'm not denying it. People do that. But seriously, think for a moment, brothers and sisters. We are intellectual people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us aql. He has given us intelligence. We need to use our intelligence. Don't get into this situation where your aql, you're clouded, your mind is clouded. And the only thing that you see is black magic. Anything in your life, from the moment you wake up till the time you go to sleep, you had a cup in your hand, it fell down, somebody black magic, come on. You tripped over, black magic. Someone, you got late to get somewhere, black magic. Seriously, I know, like this one brother called me once, and he says that it slowly started, that at first it was like his situation, marital situation, and then slowly, gradually, you know, he thought more and more things in his life were controlled by people who were doing black magic. To the point he came to a state, this is a brother that, he called, and I haven't spoken to him for a long time, but he contacted me, that he was the whole life, he just mentally, he was so controlled that he thought everything in his life was black magic. Anything, and he had a psychological problem, because every problem, not just a problem, you know, basic stuff of life, this world, Allah said, "Inna ma'al usri yusra." There's good and bad in this world. There's happiness, there's bliss, and there's what? Sadness and sorrow. The way Allah has created this world, you get both. You get both. Allah has created three alams, three worlds. Jannah is just for happiness, bliss. Ni'mah, gift, bounty, pleasure, enjoyment, nothing else. Hellfire, may Allah save us all, is nothing but sadness, sorrow, punishment, torture. That's it. This world, dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it with a combination of both. We all have our fair share of happiness and sadness. Some have more happiness, less sadness. Some have more sadness and less happiness. It's just the way Allah has made his taqseem, his division, his distribution. But every person, al-anbiya, أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. The hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most tested people, the ones who face the most severe of tests, trials, tribulations, are the prophets. Then the ones closest to them, then the ones closest to them. Hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have to learn to live with difficulties that we face and that come our way, because that's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. We all have our fair share of problems. That's life. We have to get on with it. We have to get on with our lives. If there are marital problems in your marriage between husband and wife, look at the practical solutions. Don't say, okay, black magic. If there are some other problems, sometimes people are psychologically affected. Psychological problems, mental problems. It's not always ghosts and jinn possessing you. 99% of the time, it's not black magic. 99% of the times, people just mess around. Sometimes, you know, like I know a case where incident where a daughter-in-law didn't want to live with the mother-in-law, right? And she said, "There's a black magic in the house that, you know, I can't live in the house." And she, come on, you know, it's a joke. And then when you get overwhelmed by this whole issue of black magic, everything in the life will be black magic for you. Anything. As I said, a spoon drops on the floor, you will think it's black magic. And then you will point fingers at every single person. Anyone who didn't, you know, even smile at you, you'll think she's done black magic on you or he's done black magic on you. Someone who didn't even smile at you. You met someone on the road and they had a bit of grumpy face. You think, it could be her. And then it could be her, should be her. And then it is her. And it is definitely her. Astaghfirullah. According to Islam, that's false accusation. The punishment for that in an Islamic country, not here, in an Islamic country where the laws of Islam are enforced, don't take this in your hands, not here, wherein there's the laws, the Islamic law says that's false accusation, and the person would be whipped 80 lashes. Because it's false accusation. You cannot blame or point fingers at anyone that they have done black magic on you unless you have absolute, clear, white and black proof. If you don't, then you are destined to be whipped 80 times and you've committed a major sin, for which you must repent and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about this with intelligence, with the right frame of mind. We live, unfortunately, specifically in the Asian community. I come across this a lot, and it's really saddening that Muslims, I'm going to talk about causes of friction, causes of problems and fights and disputes, right? Look at these reasons. Could it be one of these reasons why we're fighting and arguing? All of us. I'm talking about all of us. But no, we don't want to know those reasons. Straight away, black magic. Someone did something, somewhere, sitting in some part of the world, you know, just sitting there. They don't have nothing else to do except just think about you, right? And then when we are vulnerable like that, unfortunately, there are a lot of dodgy people out there. And I'm going to be frank. Unfortunately, there are a lot of dodgy people out there ready to loot you, take money out from you, from your pockets and from me. There are a lot of people there. You get fraudsters in every department, right? In every area and sphere of life. This, in terms of trying to claim that they can do ilaj and they can cure you, never even go there, seriously. Never even go there. I really feel for you, brothers and sisters. This is, I'm telling you, really from the depth of my heart, as a sincere nasiha and advice, don't spend a penny for anyone. Yeah, spend money for herbal remedy, spend money for, you know, some medication, no problem. Spend money for that. But do not spend money, and do not give anyone money who says, you know what, oh, you've got some marital problems, or you've got black magic, and I'll sort it out, and, you know, bring this down, and then look into this, and can you see something, look into the mirror, and something looks like, you know what, I can figure out anything that I'm thinking about in the mirror. I can see, if someone shows me a mirror, or shows you a mirror, and says, look in there, look, think, and look, you'll definitely see something, you know what, you can think about anything and look, you can see that in the mirror. It's mind games. All total rubbish. Total rubbish. Seriously, you're just wasting your money. If you have money like that, give it to charity. Spend it to the third world countries. But you know, because we are vulnerable. People who, and I understand where our dear Muslim brothers and sisters are coming from as well. I understand where they're coming from because they are vulnerable. When you're vulnerable, these people prey on your vulnerability. Prey means not P-R-A-Y, P-R-E-Y. They prey on your vulnerability. They are sitting there. And it's a multi-million industry. People make loads of amounts of money on this. Because everybody's got problems. Our topic is family conflicts and solutions. Why am I talking about it? Because we all have problems. There's a lot of family problems. So they know that people will definitely face problems, and people will face problems because it's part and parcel of life. So they're just sitting there preying on people's vulnerability. And when people are weak and vulnerable, they are stressed in life, they have problems, they don't get on well with their husbands, with their wives, they want people to talk to, they'll spend anything and everything. There are people who've actually made thousands and thousands, 50, 60, 70,000 pounds. Ooh, and people call them some molana. They're not even a molana. You know what a molana is? A'udhu billahi thumma a'udhu billah. This is one brother, the one sheikh was relating that he knew a brother from one city who was actually a carpenter and a painter, and you know, he was doing some work, domestic work like that. He once went to another city for some talk or for some program, and he found out that local people were saying that, oh, we have this great Peer Sahab, Maulana Sahab, doing some kind of ta'weez and some, you know, remedy, and there's like, especially Sunday afternoons after Dhuhr is his time where people make appointments, people go and see him. So let's go and see him as well. You can just make salams to him. You've come as a sheikh to our city as a guest, so we'll take you there. So the Shaykh said, okay, let's go. We'll go and see him. And he went and saw. He said, let's go and meet him. Let's just pay our salams and just meet him and say salam. And then they were going to go somewhere. I saw a line of people, 15, 20 people waiting one by one, appointment system, to go and see this big, huge, you know, healer, spiritual healer. And when he went and saw him, he was the painter guy from the Sheikh city. So he goes, what are you doing here? You know, since when did you become a healer? Because the day you know what he said? He goes, the day I left painting. Subhanallah. Anyone can do that. I'm not giving you ideas, but you can just go into one of the cities and just act like some, you know what you have to do? If you haven't got a beard, just grow a beard, right? Or something nowadays, you don't even need to grow a beard, but if you haven't, just grow a beard. Just wear like an amam on your head. Make sure you've got a massive subha in your hand. You know, subha is like the prayer bead, what we call tasbih. Massive prayer bead in your hand. And just wear some scarves and things like that, and act a bit, and put some perfume on, and act a bit spiritual, and just pretend everyone to be something, and that you're healing people. All the billah, you can make millions of pounds, and I'm not saying that. You know, there was a report on the BBC website recently. I don't know if some of you saw this report. It was on BBC website, a report that talked about in detail people who were, that I think the title was scam healers. That was the title on BBC website. I think fraudsters or scam healers. And they actually singled out, this is on BBC, they actually singled out two cities. One was Leicester and the other was Birmingham. And they actually had undercover reporters going and just pretending to, you know, having some problems in their lives. And they actually found out people that they were just scam healers. That there was no substance. And they said that this problem is specifically more within the Asian community, within the Muslims, the Hindus and the Sikhs, with thousands of pounds and a lot of money is spent. A lot of money is spent on by people on trying to get themselves healed. So seriously, this is an issue, you know, that we really need to tackle and we really need to be careful of. Do not waste your money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dear beloved brothers and sisters. Do not waste your money. Don't think every problem you have in life, any family problem, any medical problem, don't think it's black magic. Don't think it's black magic. Every time there's a problem, we think it's black magic. As I said, this is a problem in the Asian community. Not just restricted to Muslims. Asian, cross-board. Asians meaning Muslims, Sikhs, Hindus. It's a problem. And it's a very unfortunate situation. Get some medical help. Go to a doctor. Get yourself checked out from a doctor. There might be sometimes some people who are slow in the head or something. It might just be a psychological problem. They've just been created like that. It's a cycle. It's not always, you know, some possessing, being possessed by some supernatural power or some exterior being or some jinn or some ghost. We do believe in ghosts, without a doubt. It's in the Quran. We can't deny it. There's a whole surah, Suratul Jinn. But it's not always that the case. And it's definitely not black magic. Every problem we think it's black magic. Every problem in life, black magic. Husband, wives don't get on with one another. Jadu, sihr. Your children have gone off track. They're disobeying the parents. Ah, you know what? Someone's done something. Someone, you know, someone was jealous of us. And because someone's jealous, that's why they've done this. Every problem, black magic, and wastage of money and resources and time and effort. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not waste your money, do not waste your time, do not waste your effort on these kind of things. For the sake of Allah. Look at the real causes. It's very easy to blame black magic for every problem we have. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I actually gave a talk once on this. Getting our problems solved by making dua. Ultimately, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray to God, you know. We make dua. And that solves our problems. There are duas, remedies, in the Quran and Hadith given to us by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look up the Quran and look in the hadiths of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are supplications. There are a lot of du'as mentioned by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But without a doubt, don't think that every problem that you have in life, is black magic. And as I said, it's a big problem within the Asian community. So, therefore, that's one reason or cause I'm not going to talk about. And I just thought I'll briefly mention that, inshallah. We have many causes of family problems, causes of friction and their solutions. And inshallah, what I'm going to do is, because now I'll take an early break. We'll take a break, and after the break, because I want to start the topic and I want to move on to the first cause of friction, the first reason of family problems and family conflicts, and then we'll look at the solutions, inshallah. So we'll take a break, and after the break, we'll carry on. Jazakallahu khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to listeners. Inshallah, carrying on our discussion on family conflicts, causes and solutions. Now move on to the first cause, the first root cause and the first reason why we have family problems and we have social problems, we have conflicts within the society, and what are the solutions. The first cause and the first root is that when we maintain ties with people, when we even be good to people, when we maintain ties of relationship, we have the wrong intention. In other words, the first root cause of family conflicts is incorrect intention. Incorrect intention, having the wrong intention. You see, when we look at all the religions of the world, all the religions of the world actually tell us and encourage us to be good towards other people. I mean, there's not just all the religions, but every human being. If you ask anyone in the world, they'll tell you, yes, you must be good towards your relatives and your cousins and your parents and your children and your siblings and your husband and your wife. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's an accepted fact of life. Everybody tells you, every religion, every community, every human being will tell you that you must fulfill the rights of your family members, you must look after your relatives and your relations and your family members. However, the unique part within Islam, the uniqueness in the teachings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is unique with Islam, and only Islam says this, is that it's a principle that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us. In terms of relationships, if we take this principle in our hearts and in our minds and we act upon it properly, seriously, we act upon it and we don't go against this usul, this asal, this principle, we will never have family problems. And what is that principle? Is that whenever we do anything for anyone, we do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else and nothing else, for nothing else. Anything we do, it's for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah, only to please Allah. When we are good to our parents, see, this is the intention. You see, intention plays a very important part in a Muslim's life. The first hadith of the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari radiallahu anhu and many other books, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Actions are by the intentions. If we do something, the reward and the sin will depend on the intention behind that action. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. We need to correct our intentions. We need to correct our intentions. At the moment, our intentions are incorrect. We need to correct the intention behind. تَصْحِيحُ niyyah. We need to, whenever we do things for people, what is the principle? We do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only to please Allah. When we maintain ties with our family members, we do it for the sake of Allah. When we are good to others, we do it for the sake of Allah. We should not be doing things for other people for the sake of showing other people. We should not be waiting for a return. We should not be waiting to be compensated. Or be shown gratitude. We should not expect anything in return. We should not wait to be appreciated. And that's the biggest problem. You see, because Islam is telling us, correct your intention. If you are good with people, if you look after your children, it's for the sake of Allah. If you are good to your parents, it's for the sake of Allah. It's not a transaction. There's a hadith actually in the Al-Adab Al-Mufrad of Imam Al-Bukhari where, you know, the report, the hadith states that even if your parents are not good towards you, you as children must be good towards them. Because it's not a transaction. It's not a deal. It's not a transaction. We are not good to others because they are good to us. We are not good to others because we expect them to be good to us in return. No, we do it for the sake of Allah. We maintain ties. We are good to our brothers, our sisters, our siblings, our parents, our children, our spouses. We are good to our husbands and our wives and our grandparents and our relatives. And we maintain ties. We should be maintaining ties for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other objective, no other aim, no other goal, no other purpose, no other maqsad in mind. For the sake of Allah. Not even for them. Think about this. Not even for them. Think about this properly. When we are good to others, it's not even for them. When you are good to your brother, it's not even for them. It's for the sake of Allah. When you are good to your sister, when you are good to your children, it's not even for them. It's not even to please them. You might think, not even to please them? Yes, not even to please them. It's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what the evidence for that is? It's because the evidence for that is that if by pleasing them there is disobedience to Allah, then it's sinful to please them. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherein there is disobedience to the creator. You can't please a creation of Allah in the process you displease Allah. You can't do that. So it's not even for them. It's to please Allah, whatever we do. So, and that's one of the main problems today. Why do we have family problems? Why do we have conflicts? It's because when we are good to someone, we wait for appreciation. We want to be appreciated. We want to be appreciated. We wait for thanks. We expect a return. That's the root of every problem. We give a gift to someone and we think, and we wait. And if they don't say thanks to us, if they don't appreciate it, then we'll turn around and we'll say, this person didn't even say Jazakallah to me. Next time you'll think twice before giving a gift. Your reward is gone. There's no reward in giving a gift. If you're a husband, treat your wife well for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if she's bad to you, just treat her well. You will be rewarded. You will be rewarded inshaAllah. And if you're a wife, sister, don't wait for appreciation. Do it for the sake of Allah. If you're cooking food for your husband for iftar, don't wait for him to say that praise your food. I mean, he should do that. That's between him and Allah. But that doesn't mean that if he did not say, mashallah, you cooked really well, tomorrow you'll think twice about cooking. And tomorrow you won't have the heart in your cooking. He didn't even thank me or he didn't even appreciate. Because you did not cook that food to be appreciated or be thanked by him. Human beings, they give mere thanks of human beings are nothing. You did it for the sake of your Lord and your Creator. You did it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And His acceptance and His appreciation is far greater. Why do you want to waste your reward? So if you've done something for your husband, your reward is in the Akhirah. You've done it for Allah. Allah will accept it. Allah will recompense you. Allah will give you the reward. Do it for the sake of Allah. Don't wait to be appreciated. Likewise, parents, children, generally in the family, one of the major root cause problems is that we do things to be appreciated. And that's the root. That's the root of every problem. We are good to others so that they are good to us. We are good to other people. We'll treat others well if they treat us well. If someone treats us well, then we'll treat them well. This is like a transaction. It's a business deal. And you know what? That's not really maintaining ties, because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, Babun laysa al-wasilu bil-mukafi, the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam al-Bukhari mentions this in his Sahih, laysa al-wasilu bil-mukafi, laysa al-wasilu bil-mukafi, walakin al-wasil alladhi idha quti'at rahimuhu wasalaha. The one who maintains ties because people are maintain ties with him, that's not truly maintaining ties, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that maintaining ties is not when people are good to you, when people maintain ties with you, you maintain ties with them. That's natural, that's normal. That's like being a human being. You would do that. If you weren't even doing that, then you would probably be an animal or something else. What's the big deal in that? If someone's good to you, you are good to them. If someone's good to me, I am good to them. What's the big deal in that? There's no big deal. That's basic. That's basic, natural instinct of the human being. You would be good to someone who's good to you. So that's not really maintaining ties. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِ لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِ. The one who maintains ties in return, he is not truly maintaining ties. وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلُ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتَ رَحِيمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. The one, when people cut him off, he maintains the ties. When his relatives cut off ties with him or with her, she or he still maintains ties. That's the real reward, and that's the real and actual person who is maintaining ties for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not waiting to be appreciated, not waiting to be thanked, not waiting to be shown any gratitude and shukr. Don't wait for, don't expect anything in this life. And you know what, I'll tell you something, and this is not just from me, this is from some of my teachers, and this is actually Sheikh Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah, he mentioned this in some of his books. He said, you know what, do you want to be happy? And I'll ask you that question, dear listeners, do you want to be happy in life? You can't get total happiness in life without any sadness and sorrow. That's not possible. That's in Jannah, inshallah. But generally, more happiness, you want to be happy? I want to be happy. I'm sure you all want to be happy. The greatest ingredient, the greatest recipe. Right now the sisters are probably looking at some other ingredients and recipes in the kitchen. But I'll tell you another ingredient and another recipe. The greatest ingredient and the greatest recipe to be happy in this life, to be content in this life, subhanAllah, write this down on your hearts, sisters and brothers. The greatest recipe to be happy, and I'm sure you all want to be happy, is that don't expect anything from any of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll be happy. Cut off all expectations from the creation of Allah. Because when you did something good to someone and they did not give you the return, they never appreciated, they never showed any thanks, any gratitude, you weren't expecting it anyway. You did not expect anything, so you will not be sad. Just cut off all your expectations. If someone's good to you, then think it to be a bonus. Consider it to be a bonus. Think, wow, I did not expect this. Alhamdulillah, subhanallah, mashaAllah, Allahu Akbar, barakallah. Great, I wasn't expecting this. Consider it to be a bonus. If someone's good to you, consider it to be a bonus. But if someone did not give you any return or was not good to you, consider that to be the norm. And don't expect anything. Seriously, you'll be happy. Because if you did not expect anything, and then people were not good towards you, then you weren't expecting it anyway. So you will not become sad. There'll be no sadness in your life. You will not be miserable. And you will do good things to other people for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. Don't expect anything from anyone. And this was actually one of the du'as of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make a du'a. Allahumma ij'al fi qalbi raja'ak waqta' raja'i amman siwak. Allahumma ij'al fi qalbi raja'ak waqta' raja'i amman siwak. O Allah, place in my heart all my expectations with you. O Allah, place in my hands, in my heart, all my expectations with you. وَقْطَعْ رَجَائِي عَمَّنْ سِوَاكَ. And cut off all my expectations from people besides you. All your expectations, all our expectations, brothers and sisters, have to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him, we beg Him. We want anything, we ask Allah. Our expectations should be with Allah, not from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the greatest recipe of being happy. Don't expect anything. Don't expect a return. And as I was saying, the major root and the main, that this is the first cause root of every problem and family conflicts that we have, because we wait for gratitude. If people didn't thank us, they didn't appreciate us, they didn't appreciate what we said or did for them, we feel saddened. We say, you know what, she didn't even say thanks to me, she didn't even thank me. All the rewards disappeared, sister, gone, out of the window, no reward. And you know what, if you think like that, then what would happen? Next time you will think twice in maintaining ties. You'll think, you know what, there's no benefit in being good to that person because they don't even appreciate it. A'udhu billah, how can you say there's no benefit? Benefit is in the akhirah. The reward you'll see in the akhirah, you'll probably think, I wish nobody did anything to me in this world because I wanted everything for the akhirah. That doesn't mean that you don't get no reward even if someone's good back to you in return. Do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our societies today, unfortunately, are gripped with formalities. Our societies, unfortunately, they're gripped with formalities. And this is why we have problems. It's transactions. If someone gave me a gift, then I have to give a gift back to them. In our wedding time, if they gave us gifts, we have to give them gifts. A'udhu billah. You know what? This is actually in the Quranic terminology, in the Quran, this has been considered to be interest and usury. In Surah Ar-Rum, verse 39, Allah says, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِبًا لِيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُوْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاةٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. That this practice in our communities where we, you know, some people actually have a list that, you know what, in our son's wedding time, they gave us this much, they gave us this much, they gave us this much, this family gave us this much, that family gave us this much, so we have to give them back. We consider it to be necessary and more. The Quran says that's interest, you're paying back. They gave you £500, so you have to give them 550. Otherwise you think, whether you have to, you know, some communities, they think you, it's a must, regardless, you have to pay that back. Whether you go and rob someone, or whether you take a loan, or whatever you do, but you think you have to pay it back. A'udhu billah, thumma a'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. That's a transaction. Gifts, we give gifts as payment. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith, he says, tahaddu tahabbu, exchange gifts, you will increase in mutual love. You know, giving a gift to a fellow Muslim brother and sister, it's such a gesture, such a beautiful gesture. It brings the hearts close to one another. It creates love between people. But the condition is that only if it's done for the sake of Allah, only if you've exchanged gifts for the pleasure, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the akhirah, not because they gave you, so you have to give them. You're going to a wedding and you're giving a small gift. Only cash, no boxes, please, as they write nowadays. And you took out £50 note or £100 and you wanted to put it in an envelope and write your name, and then suddenly you found out, you realized, you know what, there's no envelope. You asked your sister, have you got an envelope in the car? Oh no, no envelope. Anybody? Anyone in the back? No envelopes. We need to give this £50. We need to put it in an envelope. We need to write our names. And then you think to yourself, you know what? I don't need an envelope. We'll just give it. You know, just, they've got a box there or something or some gift. Give the money for the sake of Allah. But then you think, but they won't know that who gave it. Do they really need to know who gave it? It's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you've realize that you can't put your name on that gift, you forgot a pen and you could not write who gave it, it's fine, they'll benefit it. They'll be happy with that gift. You gave it for the sake of Allah. They don't really need to know who gave it. Ikhlas, sincerity, and that's our first issue here. We need to maintain ties for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to bring about ikhlas and sincerity in our lives. We need to do things for the sake of Allah. And everything, not just this, everything, anything we do, you know, there's a golden word we have in Islam. There's a golden word. It's called ihtisab. What is it called? Ihtisab. In Arabic, you would alif, ha, ta, sin, alif, and ba. Ihtisab. Transliteration, I, H, T, I, S, A, B. Okay? Ihtisab. You know what that means? Doing everything for the sake of Allah. Amazing word. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari and elsewhere, he says, "Man صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه ومن قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه." The one who fasted إيمانا, having يقينا إيمانا, faith in Allah, واحتسابا, and only for the sake of Allah, only for the sake of Allah, all his previous sins are forgiven. Whoever's offered Taraweeh Salah and Qiyamul Layl and offered prayer at night, again two conditions, إيمانا, with iman, wahtisaban, and with ihtisab. Ihtisab means only for the sake of Allah, with ikhlas, with sincerity. So the solution for our family conflicts and problems, the cause is not having the right intention, not having ikhlas, and not having sincerity, and trying to do things to show off, trying to be good to people as a formality, to show people. Man salla yura'i faqad ashrak. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that whoever offered prayer to show people, he's actually committed shirk. You know, riya, which is ostentation, a spiritual disease in the heart. It's called ostentation, and we need to remove that spiritual disease. Riya, ostentation, showing off. Allah says, "Ara'ayta," you know, the surah which we read, "Ara'ayta alladhi yukadhibu bid-din fadhalika alladhi yad'u al-yatim wa la yahuddu 'ala ta'am al-miskin." فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاءُونَ. Those people who show off, do things to show people. To show people. There's no reward whatsoever. No reward whatsoever. And if it's for the sake of Allah, then even a small act, even a small gift, even if you give £2 to your family, to your relatives as a wedding gift, but it's for the sake of Allah, you'll be rewarded. Sufyan al-Thawri radiallahu anhu, one of the great imams of this ummah, he said, "رُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ تُكَبِّرُهُ النِّيَّةِ وَرُبَّ عَمَلٍ كَبِيرٍ تُصَغِّرُهُ النِّيَّةِ." How many times is a small action, a minute action, a small act, is made great in the sight of Allah by the intention behind it? And how many a time you have a big action, it's a big deed, you've given £50,000 as donation and charity, or you've made a massive, you know, contribution, and you've done a great act of ibadah. رُبَّ عَمَلٍ كَبِيرٍ تُصَغِّرُهُ النِّيَّةِ. But the intention behind it, which is that it's to show people, there's no ikhlas, there's no sincerity behind it. The act is made small in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the first cause of our family problems, the first root cause of our family problems, is that we do things to show people. We are not doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of our major problems, is that, you know, the family ties are, the relationship, the family ties are maintained for formalities, to show people, with the incorrect intention, to be shown thanks, to be shown gratitude, to be appreciated. And wish the solution is correct our intentions. That's the solution. Do everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do everything for the sake and for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for no one else. I talked about the gifts. Some people have this, you know, if they gave us this much money, we must give them this much back. If they gave us this gift, we must give them back. They invited us for their wedding, so we have to invite them. These are all customs, and we need to avoid customs. We need to maintain ties. We need to be good towards people. We need to make people happy. More than making them happy, we need to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. We should not be waiting for any return. Don't wait for appreciation, brothers and sisters. Don't be an attention seeker. That's one of the major problems, seriously, attention seeking. Some of us have this problem and we need to tackle that. attention seeking is a major problem for family conflicts. Whether you're a husband, whether you're a wife, whether you're a daughter, whether you're a son, whether you're whoever you are, a parent, you seek attention from your children. If you're a wife, seeking too much attention from your husband. Don't do good things to your husband only if he's good to you. You do it for the sake of Allah. Likewise, husband, treat your wives honorably. For the sake of Allah, you will gain your reward. Allah will reward you in the Akhirah, in Jannah. You will gain paradise for being good towards other people. Don't wait for any thanks and any return from them. And this is the guidance given to us by our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that everything you do it for the sake of Allah. And that distinguishes Islam from many other religions. That in other religions, they also tell us, be good towards people, maintain family ties. But Islam tells us that not just that you maintain ties, but you do it for the sake of Allah. There is no worldly motive behind it. And whatever we do, we need to make our intention sincere. And you know, a question might arise that, you know, sometimes we're giving a gift or we are visiting someone. There's a family bereavement. We go and pay our wishes, our respects. Someone's passed away. Time of death, time of nikah, marriage, a time of happiness. Someone is in need of some help. We go and visit them. We go for ta'ziyah. All these occasions, we give a gift at the time of marriage. How do we know that our intentions are correct? How do we know we have done it for the sake of Allah or not? I'll tell you how. If you gave someone a gift, how do you find out that you gave that gift for the sake of Allah or for the sake of something else? The way to determine this is that after giving that gift to someone, if you have this thought in your mind and you wait and you anticipate that the person will say, you know, will say thanks to you, say Jazakallah, Jazakallah, and you wait for that and you crave for it, or he will give you something back in return, or when he comes to your house he'll bring something as well. If you wait for that and if you have that desire and that anticipation in your heart, then that means that that gift was not for the sake of Allah. But if you gave someone a gift and you completely forgot about it, you did not even remind them explicitly or implicitly that you gave them a gift. You gave someone a gift, you forgot about it. You yourself forgot it. You gave it for the sake of Allah. You did something good to someone, you visited someone, you made a nice gesture towards someone about something. You did it for the sake of Allah. You yourself, you've forgotten about it. You don't even remember. And you don't wait for anything from that person. No return. If that's the situation, if that's the case in your heart, then that means that you should thank Allah and you should say Alhamdulillah, thumma Alhamdulillah. Whatever good you did, the gift that you gave, or the visitation that you made, or you know, any good gesture that you made, it was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was for the sake of Allah. And this will create love. This will create love between the family members, brothers and sisters. So everything we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the first root cause, that our causes of friction, family conflicts, family friction, problems. Why do we have them? I'm just going to summarize, and time is, you know, short as well, so I'm not going to go into the second cause. But this is the summary of the first cause, the first major reason why we have family conflicts and we have problems within our families and our societies. What is the main cause? That our intentions are not correct. We don't maintain ties for the sake of Allah. Our intention is correct. Therefore, what is the solution? The solution is that we need to maintain ties for the sake of Allah. We need to maintain ties and we need to be good towards other people for the pleasure of Allah, for the sake of Allah, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to show off, not waiting for anything in return, not expecting a return, not waiting to be appreciated, not waiting to be shown any thanks and gratitude. Okay, we don't expect any return, we don't expect to be compensated. If we do that, inshallah, our problems will disappear. The root for every dispute is that people wait for return. Remember that it's a golden rule. Root for every problem is that we wait or a return. Remember the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he said, "Laysa al-wasilu bil-mukafi, walakin al-wasil alladhi idha quti'at rahimuhu wa salaha." The one who maintains ties to be compensated is not really truly maintaining ties. Our expectations should be only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we inshallah act upon this golden rule, inshallah many of our problems, family problems, will be solved inshallah ta'ala. So that was the first root cause and the solution. Solution is tasheehu niyyah, correcting our intentions, bringing about ikhlas and sincerity in our lives, working on our hearts, bringing ikhlas, sincerity. Allah says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. We have been ordered to have ikhlas and sincerity, whether when we are offering salah, or we are fasting, or we are maintaining tithes. In every aspect of our life, we have to be sincere. Sincere means whatever we do, the only objective and the only aim and goal that we have is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else. If we bring that golden rule in our lives, inshallah we'll be happy in this world and we'll be happy in the next world. It's a golden rule. I cannot emphasize this enough. So I'm going to end with this. Inshallah we have like about 10 minutes or odd for iftar time. So use that time, utilize time inshallah in making dua, supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua for yourselves, for your family members, for your loved ones, for your dear ones. Don't forget us here as well. Make dua for me and my family inshallah. Until tomorrow, tomorrow is Thursday. As you know, Monday to Thursday, every week, 6:45 till iftar, I am doing these discourses and these talks on the topic family conflicts, causes and solutions. Today we looked at the first root cause. Tomorrow I'll mention another cause and then we'll carry on talking about these causes and roots of family conflicts. Jazakallah khair for listening. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the tawfiq and ability to practice on what I said. And also may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the tawfiq, the ability to practice and bring in your life that which was mentioned today. قول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.